All right, Zay. I got to tell you, the NFL was bonkers yesterday. The Cowboys falling behind 21-0 to the Eagles. My Lions trailing the Giants the entire game. I was like, what on earth is happening? Meanwhile, the Bears like totally controlled the Steelers. I'm like, what is happening here? It was rough. But, I mean, the Cowboys, that's one of them games where at halftime or whatever, first quarter, they're down 21-0. You're like, this team has no heart, blah, 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 blah. And then they start making some plays. They're playing with great effort. That dude on special teams knocks that ball loose from that fool who tried to field that punt at the two and run sideways. And Dak Prescott's throwing dimes. CeeDee Lamb's dropping them and complaining that Dak should have been throwing it over here. Throw it over here.
Yeah, just catch the ball. That's he's going to Sooner every once in a while, y'all. As good as he is, as talented as he is, I know he's a Texan, but he went to Oklahoma. There's just some stuff that he's going to do that's going to make you scratch your head, and that's what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, he's losing all credibility. CD for drops, Lamb.
Yeah. Meanwhile, George Pickens, he's looking like wide receiver one.
And when he's running, he doesn't even look like he's running as fast as he can. Mm-mm. Like, I'm like, hey, Pickens, pick it up, man. Put the Jets on. But he's making plays, man. Ferguson. Ferguson's so good. We never talk about Ferguson. Ferguson just makes plays. He's the one dating a Cavender twin, right?
Right. She got him right.
She got him right.
Yeah, people look at the Cavender twin and they're like, oh, she's just an Instagram influencer. No, those girls used to hoop on full rides. Like, don't try to sleep on them because they look like Barbie and stuff. Like, them girls, they got some competitive nature in them. They could hoop. So she understands what an athlete has to do to be at peak performance. Carson Beck, he couldn't handle that with the Cavender twin he was with. Where he at?
Well, was he messing around on her?
That's what they say. And word on the street is he ain't the nicest person. So I think they were just having problems behind the scenes that we ain't even know about. But yeah, this Cavender twin, Jake Ferguson, one of the more underrated tight ends in the league. And Chip, this sucks, but Andrew Mukuba, I think broke his ankle yesterday. So for Eagles, that's tough. Their secondary, they got carved up in that second half. And Makuba's not out there. He's a big part of their secondary at this point. And now he's going to have to undergo surgery for that ankle, which is brutal because he's been having an amazing rookie season. And even though the Eagles lost yesterday, their Super Bowl goals are still in front of them. And you want Andrew Mukuba to be a part of that. So doesn't look like it will be, but I really do think that affected the Eagles yesterday. And Vic Fangio trying to figure out how to place Mukuba. Dak Prescott, he took advantage of that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Cowboys are sitting there at 5-5-1. You know, as a Lions fan, I appreciate what the Cowboys did yesterday. They did what the Lions couldn't do, which was win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it ironic that the first game A.J. Brown has, good game that he has in a while, they lose? Like, what does that tell you? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's – if I'm A.J. Brown, that tells me a lot. Like, I would feel so shit. He probably doesn't. But I would feel, like, trash because of all the bitching that he's done this year. And then now he has a good game, and they lose. But when he was playing bad, they were winning. Funny how that works.
Yeah. Yeah, A.J. Brown could screw up a winning lottery ticket. You know what I mean? All right, let's bring in the man. We love him. We call him Hole-in-One Hummer, National College Football Analyst, or CBSSports.com, 24/7 sports, the one and only Chris Hummer. Hummer, how you doing?
What up, what up, what up? Doing good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Good, Hummer.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all. What's the side dish, y'all, there? What's like the number one side dish for y'all at Thanksgiving?
Say, you're the
baked mac and cheese. Has to be baked. Like that, it's mandatory that it has to be baked. No craft stuff. You know, put that thing in the oven, put the breadcrumbs on top, really get it right. You know what I mean?
I agree.
How about you? Right there with you, man. Like that, the mac and cheese is what I go for first. It's what I want to eat. That's like what I want to destroy. Baked mac and cheese is tough to transport. Like the family that's cooking it has to do it there. Otherwise, it kind of overcooks. But baked mac and cheese is elite. It is an elite side dish.
Yeah.
That's why we have you on, Hummer. Like, great minds think alike, man. Like, you get it. You know the game.
Yeah, we want you to confirm our biases, Hummer.
I wish I had a better take. Low-key, though, like, I think I eat, like, 4 rolls every Thanksgiving, maybe 5. So, like, rolls are a sneaky, like, sneaky contender there. So,
yeah. Well, Hummer, what'd you think of Texas 52, Arkansas 37?
I think Arkansas is a team with a lot of flaws, and I thought Texas exposed them completely on offense. That was as complete a performance offensively as I've seen from Texas this year. We'll see how translatable it is, but I mean, if you're Arch Manning, that's got to feel good, right? You're like freaking making a leaping catch in the end zone, like you're 6 weeks removed from people calling you like the first ever flop in college football history and synonymous with failure. And he's been like a top 10 quarterback in the country basically since then. I think people owe Arch Manning a lot of an apologies. And I think this is a good lesson for people not to overreact to 5 games early in the season.
Yeah. And he's got a chance this Friday, 6:30, to he'll have the stage pretty much to himself. To show people how far he's come, how do you think he fares against the A&M defense?
It'll be interesting. I'm not so much worried about Arch faring against A&M defense. I think Arch is playing well enough to where you can feel reasonably confident that he's going to perform well on Friday. To me, it's still the offensive line. I know that group has played better since the kind of made some switches along the interior, but A&M is one of the top pass rushing units in the country. They create, I think, pressure at the 14th highest rate, despite blitzing a pretty infrequent amount. Cassius Howell coming off the edge is one of the top edge rushers in the country. If that offensive line holds up, I think Texas will be fine. It's just, we'll see how they hold up. That's been the question mark for Texas all year. Like when that offensive line plays well, Texas wins games. When they don't, they really struggle.
Hummer, how impressed are you with Mike Elko here in year 2? Now, I know looking at their schedule, like the teams that they've beaten in the SEC are at the bottom of the standings, but still 11-0 is 11-0. Talk about just how good A&M has been and why their coach deserves credit for it.
They've been awesome. I mean, I know the schedule isn't that hard, at least on paper, and that should be acknowledged, but it's also the SEC. Like, it's not an easy, like, even the bottom of the SEC is really good compared to some other conferences, and A&M's handled it well. We saw how they responded last week in South Carolina. That was one of the biggest comebacks I've seen in college football history. I don't even think I could do that in NCAA football very easily if you spotted me 28 down, right? Especially with those 5-minute clocks, so. I've been very impressed. They've assembled one of the best offenses in college football. It's a big play unit. Marcel Reed might not be the most accurate passer in college football, but he certainly makes the plays when it matters. We've seen that over and over again this year. Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver have totally changed the feel of that offense. It's a really, really well put together team with a ton of talent, and Mike Elko and his staff should be given a lot of credit. It's not like it was broken when they took it over from Jimbo Fisher, but there were a lot of holes they had to fill, and they've done a great job filling them.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Klein, Hummer. Colin Klein seems like a guy who should be getting some head coaching love.
He has he's been in the mix at places like he interviewed at Colorado State. I know he is a guy that has been in the mix at Oklahoma State as well, like pretty heavily. So this is somebody that I think people are really paying attention to. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends up finishing out, like the coaching cycle particularly. I know Arkansas was also interested in Colin Klein as well. But he is a guy I think long-term will certainly be a head coach. That is the industry consensus. And I think he's definitely a guy that fits that bill as a future play or as a future head coach in the space. And I mean, I don't know when or if Kansas State's ever going to come open, but I guarantee you if that comes open, you can write Colin Klein in pen for that job.
Yeah. Hummer, you know, for A&M, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on them knowing what's at stake, losing to Texas last year. If you lose this game, you don't go to Atlanta for their first appearance for the SEC championship. What is it going to take for Texas to beat this A&M group in your eyes? I know you mentioned the offensive line and you feel good about Arch, but overall, what do you think it's going to take for Texas to become victorious in this game?
As I said before, yeah, the offensive line definitely has to play well, but defensively, like, we've seen that unit have some busts, especially in the secondary. That unit has to play better, has to play sound. Texas is going to have to get home from a pass rushing perspective against one of the most veteran offensive lines in the country. We've seen that pass rush unit really come on in the second half of the season, but they're going to have to play well in this game. And really, like, Texas just has to limit the big play. It has failed to do so all season. I'm looking at the stats now. Texas ranks like 98th nationally in passing plays of over 20 plus yards. There have been a lot of chunk plays against Texas this year, and A&M thrives in those situations. I think we all remember Ryan Wingo's like opening touchdown on a screen play earlier this season. Like, A&M loves those situations. Their receivers love and are so good at creating plays after the catch. And Texas is going to have to tackle really well and avoid bust. If they can do that, they have a real shot. If they don't, like, they're probably going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah, this feels like a shootout, doesn't it?
It definitely could go that direction. I think it probably will be. I definitely lean way more points than not. Texas's defense can be really good. It's really good against the run, especially, but these are two teams this season that have really lived and died with the pass. And I think that's going to probably be the case on Saturday. It's going to come down to whichever quarterback and whichever offense moves the ball best.
Yeah. Chip, you got any more Texas A&M questions?
Well, I got to ask him about my man. I mean, SMU, baby, SMU. Drop that hammer on Louisville, and Georgia Tech lost to Pitt, Hummer. Now SMU has an 85%. They just got to beat Cal, and they're in the ACC championship, right?
A Cal team that just fired its coach.
Don't sleepwalk, SMU. I mean, what do you think about this? What do you think about them Mustangs?
I mean, who would have? I mean, like, SMU has a legitimate chance to go to the playoff 2 years in a row. That's crazy to say, given where SMU was as a program for such a long period of time. But give Rhett Lashley and that staff a lot of credit. They've put together an elite roster. They've put together a very good roster. There's been elite investment in that program. They've given him the resources he needs to be successful. And I think we saw on Saturday, like, I don't think people realize SMU's been really banged up this season, like really banged up, especially defensively. Kevin Jennings has nursed an ankle injury for much of the year. You saw them coming off a bye and looked like a much different team. And SMU's going to be, I mean, they're already dangerous, obviously. They're one game away from an ACC championship berth, but I don't know who's going to make it on the other side of SMU, because I would expect SMU to win this game on Saturday against Cal. I'm probably picking the Ponies. I have a lot of belief at SMU the rest of the way, and I think they've found some stuff defensively that might carry them through.
You hear that, Zay?
I hear it. I can't believe it, but I hear it. Hummer, you know, if you would have asked me before the season, this Black Friday, I would say, oh, yeah, Texas A&M, that's the only game that's important on the Black Friday. But with the Lane Kiffin situation, the Egg Bowl has become even that more important with, I guess, him announcing what he's going to do the following Saturday. Your thoughts on where Lane Kiffin is and that game?
Lane Kiffin is wherever Lane Kiffin wants to be, I guess, is how I think about Lane Kiffin right now. He's got all the options. I think LSU is definitely the favorite for Lane Kiffin at the moment. I might even say a heavy favorite. Ole Miss is probably running second. Florida's running third. As for the actual game itself, the Egg Bowl is one of the craziest experiences out there. It's almost too bad it's not on Thanksgiving evening anymore. It's just in the morning on Friday, because some of the crazy stuff that has happened over the years is just like a one-on-one. I'll never forget. Who was the player who pissed in the back of the end zone? Not physically pissed, but did the pissing celebration like a dog.
Oh, I know you're talking about. I forgot.
That's just a college football classic. I think this is going to be a close game. I think both these teams have had a bye. I think Mississippi State has had far less distractions. These are two teams susceptible to giving up a lot of yardage defensively. Mississippi State's going to have to score to keep up in this one. I think they're capable of it. Ole Miss wins, but I would be very surprised if it wasn't a one possession game.
Why is LSU the favorite to you for Lane Kiffin?
That's just kind of what I've heard chatter along the industry. I'm never going to say like it's a definite for Lane Kiffin. I don't think anybody really knows what Lane Kiffin's thinking except for Lane Kiffin, because he changes his mind a lot. But it seems like momentum has definitely swung towards LSU for a variety of reasons.
The Ole Miss player was Elijah Moore.
Oh, Elijah Moore, yeah, future NFL player.
He got down on like a dog and hiked his leg. After
my favorite, sorry, I just googled it, and ESPN's headline was "Ole Miss wide receiver Elijah Moore apologizes for urinating dog celebration." That's just not what you see every day from a headline perspective.
Yeah. Hummer, what other games hold interest to you? What do you expect, any kind of craziness that is going to make the committee's job really hard?
I mean, the game definitely holds interest. I know that's another one that Chip pays attention to. Michigan still really does have a chance to get into the playoff if it wins this game and gets some help. So this game still means a lot. And for Ohio State, it's a chance to break what is a 4-year losing streak. It's been a long time since Ohio State beat Michigan. So that's definitely on the radar. Auburn, Alabama means a lot. Alabama's trying to get in the playoff. DJ Durkin's trying to keep his job, well, keep his interim job and make it full time. I'm curious if Vanderbilt can beat Tennessee. I think Diego Pavia has a legitimate chance to win the Heisman. If he plays well against Tennessee, finishes 10-2, Vanderbilt has a chance to make the playoff. That's a huge game on Saturday. I mean, Miami at Pittsburgh, in terms of the ACC, Miami's going to have to make a big statement if it hopes to make the playoff. This is a really loaded slate of games. So I'm definitely excited for the weekend. And like even Oregon, Washington, like Oregon's not a sure thing like to win that game. And I think Oregon probably gets in as a 2-loss team either way, but like they're going to have to look good against Oregon to make it work.
Yeah.
Zay, you got one more?
I do. Hummer, Chip Kelly just got the boot from the Vegas Raiders. Do you think with all this crazy coaching carousel stuff going out there and just all these jobs opening, that one of these schools will take a shot at Chip Kelly? Because remember, this has been a crazy year. You go from winning a national championship as an offensive coordinator January to getting fired here in November from the Vegas Raiders. So is anybody going to take a shot on old Chip Kelly?
It's too early for me to say that, but if I was a college head coach and I wanted to have a play caller come in my building, I would take a long look at Chip Kelly. I mean, Chip Kelly's made so much money in his career, he could just retire. If Brian Hartline were to get a job, he could have a natural fit back at Ohio State, but if I was any of these top 10 programs nationally and I wanted to kind of take play calling off my plate, I would definitely call Chip Kelly. I'm sure some Texas fans wouldn't mind Chip Kelly like walking in the door and being an advisor to Steve Sarkisian for a season. So he won't lack options.
So your sales days as a head coach are over because you just mentioned play calling.
I think the way Chip Kelly's tenure at UCLA ended, I would be surprised if he opted to be a head coach again in this environment.
Okay. Hummer, have you turned in your predictions yet?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What do you got for Texas A&M?
I think I had Texas covering and A&M winning. I think I had it as a 3-point game. Let me see specifically. Yeah, I had A&M 27, Texas 24. I think it actually ended up being a little more high scoring than that. But I, in rivalry games like this, I think the cover is the safe play. And I just think Texas A&M has been a little more consistent this year. But I would not at all be shocked if Texas pulled the upset on Saturday. Like that is a very possible scenario. Sorry for the Texas fans listening.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, this team's been as hard to predict as, you know, an 8-ball, magic 8-ball. Hummer, you're the best. We know you're going 1,000 miles an hour. We'll let you get back at it. Appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving.
A happy Thanksgiving, guys. Eat some mac and cheese for me, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Appreciate you, Hummer.
All right, there you go.
There he is. Hole in one Hummer right there. We got him on today, fortunately, because, again, we will not be on Wednesday and Thursday, taking Wednesday and Thursday for Thanksgiving. We will be on Friday, but we will be on from 11 to 1 on Friday. So make a note to join your boys for some pregame. We'll get you going. Man, what a day it's going to be here on Texas Sports Unfiltered on Friday. You're going to have, of course, you know, Bucky and BK and the normal morning lineup, but we will join it, you know, 11 to 1. And then you'll have the pregame show here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. So we got you covered. Got you covered.
Let's go.
You know who else has you covered? Human has you covered. Listen, take it from me. I am a 50, you know, I'm a tennis player in my 50s. And I've tried supplement after supplement because I'm trying to feel my best. My wife jokes that I'm a collector of supplements, but I'm not collecting them anymore unless you just count all the human products that I am taking and loving. And here's the thing. Human, the reason that it's ultra cool that Human has these incredible products is because they're unique scientific-based formulas were born from research at the University of Texas Health Science Center. You now see the Human logo. If you're going to the Texas A&M game on Friday, you're going to see that Human with two N's logo on the football field at DKR. And Human is making it easy for all of us to support our heart health, our cardiovascular health, healthy blood sugar levels, and to support cholesterol health, because look, it's as simple as what's written on the bottle. Cardiovascular health daily, cholesterol health daily, and metabolic health daily. Each one features Human's science-backed formulas. And when the three products are taken together, they help support healthy vascular function, promote healthy circulation, healthy cholesterol levels, help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, and healthy weight management. And then I got my Super Beats Heart Chews, which help promote, healthy blood pressure, and my Turmeric Chews, which are anti-inflammation, which is good for all the, you know, all the weekend warriors out there. So, listen, just go to humanwith2ends.com/TSU and use the promo code TSU to get an additional 20% off your first order and load up. I would absolutely make sure that I'm taking, you know, the cardiovascular, cholesterol, and metabolic human products, because these three together are going to change your life. And the Super Beats heart chews and the turmeric chews. I would get multiple containers and bags because you have nothing to lose. Human has a 90-day money-back guarantee, but you want to get the most bang for your buck when you get that 20% off your first order. So load up, go to humanwith2ends.com and use the promo code TSU. You have nothing to lose and a healthier future to gain. All right, Zay, let's get into it. You know, I see Jose, love Jose. Jose is always dialed in with his questions. You know, talked about the 11-39 combined conference record for A&M. Listen, they've done what they're supposed to do. They've won. They found ways to win. That Notre Dame game was unbelievable. I mean, and Marcel Reed, I think, gained so much confidence from that. And when you show you can lead your team on a game-winning drive on the road in a place like Notre Dame and deliver the goods, man, your confidence goes through the roof. And that's Arch Manning talked about that today. So I'm not as concerned about, you know, opponent records and that kind of thing. The eye test tells you that A&M's got receivers who can make yards after catch. And if Marcel Reed is, you know, delivering the ball on target and on time, that A&M's going to make plays. And the Texas defense is going to have to play better than it has. Or this could come down to who has the ball last. The over-under is 51.5. So that's like a 27-24 game. I think it's going to be higher than that. I said 34-31 for Texas Arkansas, and Zay was like, whoa! Turns out I shortchanged those players.
Yeah.
52-37. And so, and by the way, Zay predicted a Texas cover. Zay said 34-20. So that's a winner. I was wrong. Winner for Zay, loser for Chip. Our college picks were not good. We both went 1-2.
Damn.
You had Georgia Tech. You had OU. That was a winner. You had USC. That was a loser. I had Cincinnati. That was a loser. I had Kentucky covering against Vanderbilt, loser.
Damn.
But I had SMU, baby, SMU. And then my NFL picks, Steelers, that was a loser. Did the Chiefs win by 3.5?
Nope, they just won by 3.
That's a loser. And I had Dallas plus 3.5. That's a winner. You had Atlanta plus 2.5. That was a winner.
Yes, sir.
They beat New Orleans, right?
Yep.
Kirk Cousins. You had Dallas. That was a winner. And you had New England minus 6.5. Did they cover?
I think so.
Win by 7? Let's see here.
No. You said 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5.
Damn, they won by 6. How does Vegas know this stuff?
How does Vegas know?
God, I can't stand Vegas, man.
How they know? That's crazy.
All right.
That's crazy. Yeah, man. All right. So at least your pro picks. You went 2-1.
Yeah,
I may have to give up picking games. I'm doing so bad. I was doing good for a minute, and then it all fell apart. But, okay, so Oklahoma took care of business.
God, that game was ugly.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting outgained, but they're finding ways to win. So, Here's old Oklahoma, who Texas beat 23-6. Still in prime contention. But I'm telling you, there could be craziness this weekend. That committee, there could be craziness this weekend. And it probably will not favor Texas. But if Texas, you know, if Texas wins, great. But like SMU, that doesn't help Texas. If Michigan beats Ohio State, that doesn't help Texas. You know, but I could see some craziness happening that is going to make this committee's job really hard.
Yeah. Really, BYU winning, that was tough. You know, Utah continuing to win. I mean,
Utah.
What the hell? I can't stand Utah.
Who have they beaten?
Exactly. Nobody.
Nobody.
Just
stop it with Utah. Like, the committee, what are you doing? What are you thinking? I mean, and Vanderbilt did look great. You know, Kentucky was playing better football, and they destroyed Kentucky. Now they got to go to Knoxville, Tennessee. So Texas fans want the Volunteers to win that one and get Vanderbilt out of their way. They want Miami to lose.
They're rooting for Auburn, too. They need the Iron Bowl. They need Auburn, Jordan Hare.
They need Auburn to beat Alabama. They need Miami to lose at Pitt. They need Ohio State to beat Michigan. You need Central Florida to knock off BYU. You need Washington to beat Oregon.
Jeez.
You need LSU to beat Oklahoma. Yeah. You need Stanford to beat Notre Dame.
Okay. Yo, Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman must really hate Fran Brown. Like, come on, man. Y'all both brothers. Y'all need to look out for each other a little bit. Marcus Freeman, there ain't too many brothers out here that get these head coaching jobs. You put up 70 on them?
49 at halftime.
You can't call off the dogs a little bit? Run the football. Walk to the line. Snap the ball at 2 1 second. 70?
70.
70. Remember, Layla Filia went up to Syracuse to be with Jonte Cook. To get beat by 70?
Layla Filia. How's Jonte doing?
How is he doing? We haven't checked in with him. We haven't checked in with him.
Let's see how Jonte is doing. Because that was a straight beatdown. Syracuse is 3-8. And Jonte Cook is the leading receiver, barely.
You said barely.
He's got 42 catches for 521 yards and 2 touchdowns. But my man, Daryl Gill Jr., he's got 32 catches for 506 yards and 5 touchdowns. So I'm sure Jonte is not happy that he only has 2 touchdown catches.
Yeah.
While 2 other receivers each have 5 touchdown catches.
I'm sure Uncle Dennis ain't happy either. Remember Uncle Dennis?
Oh, yeah.
Called the post-game show. After your Mustangs ACC matchup, your Mustangs beat the Orange down there in Dallas. And Uncle Dennis, since Jonte's from Dallas, a lot of family at the game, Uncle Dennis was there. Uncle Dennis did not like the product that he saw, and he had to make it known.
Had to make it known.
Had no choice. He had no choice, man. This is a catastrophe. My nephew ain't getting looks. Who the hell's this quarterback here? Give my nephew the ball. You want to get beat by 70, maybe if they gave the ball to Jonte Cook more. But damn, Yeah. Jeremiah Love, talk about Heisman. That fool only had like 8 carries.
What is going on?
Buck 20 or something like that. 3 touchdowns.
Marcus Freeman, what are you doing? Help your guy.
What, you want him to get more carries?
Yeah.
No, Marcus Freeman, that's, you know how I feel about Marcus Freeman. Like, in any chance I get to,
you don't like him because of his hair, for God's sake.
Yeah, but
how about the fact that he might be the best coach in college football?
Yo, you ain't lying about that. That might be facts. But if he wasn't that Notre Dame, you wouldn't even hear me talk about that ridiculous fake-ass hairline that he has. But
he's only got 1,300 yards rushing. Hell yeah, he needs more carries.
I mean, I think you need the dude for the college football playoff just a little bit. So I get it. You got to, you know.
Dude only has 185 carries.
Hey. I think Jeremiah Love would trade a natty for a Heisman Trophy any day of the week. So
that dude's averaging 7.1 yards per carry. Like, that is nasty. And everybody is lining up to stop him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see how many receptions he got.
Yeah, he got close too.
Right. Yeah, he's got 26 catches. 26 catches, 3 touchdown catches. Okay. All right. I see you, Jeremiah Love. Yeah, man.
Yeah. He hit the pose too. I feel him. When you hit the pose, let them know. Yeah. You're a voter. That's what we hear for people like you. Yeah. Y'all see me? Yeah.
Yeah. This is, yeah. I got a lot of film to watch.
Yeah. Sorry. Have you started already? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. I was checking on my defensive guys. I'm checking on all my defensive guys.
What defensive guys?
I mean, everyone from, you know, Cassius Howell to David Bailey to Jacob Rodriguez to, like, I always do the deep dive.
I appreciate that.
If we just go quarterbacks, what are we doing? Especially in a year like this.
No, the people appreciate that. See, we need more Heisman voters like you because not everybody thinks like you, obviously, which is a problem.
Right. I mean, do your homework. Get down in it, you know? Yeah. All right, let's get to the chip shot. Listen. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to talk about Arch Manning today. The boy accounted for 6 touchdowns against Arkansas. Now, here's the thing. This dude, after the Florida game, the New York Times comes out with that headline, is Arch Manning the first flop in college football. And everybody's piling on the guy. Because he's been up and down. Then he beats Oklahoma, looks good, 21-27. Then he goes to Kentucky and looks lost again. And you're like, oh God, you know, is he gonna get out of his own head? And then today he said everything started to turn in that fourth quarter against Mississippi State. He's like, you're down 17. You got to dig deep. And that's what he did. And he led that comeback. He gets concussed in the first play of overtime. He doesn't even get the credit. He doesn't even get to finish off a game that really ignited the close to his season. But, you know, and everyone's like, oh my God, Matt Caldwell's so good. He walks in and he throws a perfect fade route. And you know what Arch Manning did? He just kept grinding, kept getting those ice baths after games, kept saying he was 10 toes down with his offensive line. Even when the coaches are playing ring around the rosy at left guard, and Arch, you know, over the last 4 games is playing ridiculous football. And you know, since Florida, 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. And what we saw against Arkansas was a guy who got into the zone, who has now developed a rapport with Ryan Wingo, Emmett Mosley, DeAndre Moore. DeAndre Moore needed some love, and he got three touchdowns. So now he's feeling good about things. I mean, he wanted to break Jordan Shipley's, you know, single season touchdown record. That ain't happening. But, you know, now you look at DeAndre Moore, and no, he's got four touchdown catches. Wingo's got six. Parker Livingston's got six. Mosley's got three. You know, things are getting spread out a little bit. And, you know, Jack Hendry's, he got two touchdown catches. So, but the bottom line is Arch Manning is doing what his team needs to do to win. And Steve Sarkisian gave him some sugar. They ran that, you know, Philly special. Sarkisian said Parker's a former baseball player. So he's like, you know, he can throw on the run, you know, because that's what baseball players do. Now he, you know, put it up there a little high. Arch had to go get it. But Arch was like, hey, man, I've given him so many bad balls earlier this season. He probably owed me one. I thought that was hilarious. But, you know, I asked Arch Manning today about his resolve, and he said, you know, if you're going to play quarterback, you got to be the most confident player on the field. And so I just had to keep working to get there. And he was asked about, you know, do you feel like you can be more of a vocal leader after the game? He said, yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to be a vocal leader when you're playing like garbage. And Sark was telling him, hey, I still need you to lead because you've earned it. But Arch now feels like, and, you know, Sarkisian said it, you can see his body language is different. It's different in pregame. It's different during the game. He's talking to his teammates. He's getting them going. And Trevor Goosby said today, I would die for that guy. Like he said, he's been through all kinds of crap this year. And he's like, I would die for that guy. So there's some really good things happening right now for Arch Manning, for this offense at a time where Texas would love to end this regular season with another win over A&M and take some momentum into whatever is next for Texas. And look, Arch Manning playing at a high level is going to just get the hype machine going again. And don't be surprised if the hype machine, depending on how Texas ends the season, you know, gets cranked up again to where Arch might be the Heisman favorite going into next year. All the same stuff. But you know what? Now he's ready for it. Now he's been through it. Now he knows how to tone it out, turn it down, and probably be like, I'm never paying attention to that bleep again. Like, let me just get in this bunker with my guys and let's go. So what he's doing over these last four games is impressive, because when the whole world is taking shots at you, after that Florida game, I remember turning on Get Up, that show on ESPN with Mike Greenberg. Arch, disaster, you know, and all this stuff. And it's just like everyone was, you know, they couldn't wait to pile on Arch. And it's funny, he'll come into these press conferences and he'll be like, oh, they were saying that about me? Like, I mean, it's funny. And he's got a good sense of humor. It's cool to see him getting it done on the field where it matters most to him. But after that Florida game, he did not miss a snap of practice in preparing for Oklahoma. and his teammates never forgot it. They bring it up every time. And that dude's a warrior. He's probably still got bruises from that Florida game.
Yeah.
That are visible on his body. But that dude is taking big steps to the point where I think Steve Sarkisian feels like his team's best chance to win is having Arch Manning sling it all over the place. So we'll see how that goes, because A&M does a pretty good job of possessing the football. They're averaging 32 minutes of time of possession. Texas is only averaging 28, and it may not seem like much, but then when you look at, you know, the time of possessions, like just the last two games alone, Georgia had it 35 minutes. Texas had it 24 minutes. Arkansas had it 34 minutes. Texas had it 25 minutes and change. I mean, this defense has been on the field. So Arch Manning going to need to put points up on that board and see if that defense can get enough stops. But unbelievable transformation. Kudos to Arch Manning for putting up with all the negativity, getting through it, grinding, and getting out, you know, to the other side. And the whole world's going to be watching on Friday. He can retell the story. He can change the narrative to where everyone's going to be like, oh, okay, there's Arch. He's figured it out. Texas is going to have a quarterback next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, man. His toughness. And I just love his demeanor and like understanding and reading the room. Like, nah, hell nah, I can't lead because I ain't done nothing yet. Like, I know Sark wants him to, but come on now. When you're the quarterback, your teammates already look at you like you get special treatment because you do. Like, you don't get hit in practice. There's just a lot of things that those guys, you know, when it comes to in the trenches and the skill positions that they have to endure that the quarterback doesn't. So you have to earn that respect in certain ways. And him showing his toughness, being knocked down just on a consistent rate and bouncing back up and continuing to get better and better and better. There's reason why Trevor Goosby's out here saying that he died for the man. So, yeah, like Arch Manning, he's done everything the right way. And as difficult as this season has been at times, he's gotten past it. And now this is what we were expecting. We were expecting this guy coming in with just the Manning last name and all the measurements to match, dude, 6'4", 230, and he's hard to get down now that he's really understanding the game. Like, even though this offensive line is leaky, I think he knows that, and he knows he has to make quick decisions no matter what play is called, and he's athletic enough to get out of sticky situations like we saw against Arkansas. Will he be athletic enough to get out of those sticky situations against this Mike Elko defense? We'll see you on Friday.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Let's get the right call.
Let's get it. Let's get it. Before that, though, got to give a shout out to Covert B Cave, the best car dealership in the business. It's Thanksgiving week, man. A lot of y'all are going to be traveling out there, and you can't travel in a bootleg car that you don't feel comfortable in, that you know could just break down on you at any moment. That is a very stressful feeling. Nobody deserves to go through that, and you don't deserve it either. Get over to Covert B Cave and let them find a vehicle for you, like they did for my wife and I for the Buick Encore GT that we absolutely love. Be like us. Get over there, new, pre-owned. It doesn't matter. They will take care of you, and they will find something that fits your budget, that fits your family for the next 10-plus years or so, because that's how it should be. Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Cadillac, all the brands, they got them, and they will find exactly what you're looking for. So if you want to start early before you touch down at the dealership, go to covertbcave.com, see all the latest specials and inventory. Shout out to my man Jerome Marcus Daniel and the rest of the team at Covert Bee Cave. It wasn't about making that quota. It wasn't no just sketchy user car salesman tactic. None of that. We felt comfortable during our process. It was easy, stress-free, and we got it done. Be like us too. Nobody beats a covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Shep, you know I got to do my Diego Pavia mom update because she was on one on Saturday night watching her boy beat the hell out of them Kentucky Wildcats. Man, old Pavia, she was lubed up a little bit. Look at her. Look at her dancing. She got the football in her hand, man. She on the rail. You know what I'm saying? She's showing a little leg. That's my girl, man. I love this woman. She is having a blast. Like, this is what parenting should be, because her son out here is thriving. Right now, he's in the Heisman conversation. He's out here. Him and Clark Lee are arguing on the sideline because Diego's out here like, coach, leave me in the fourth quarter, bro. We're going after this Heisman. And Clark Lee had to tell him, yo, you're not going back in the game. Like, we actually have college football playoff aspirations. I need you for that. We can't pat your stats now, even though you want to. But, yeah, man, look at this mama, Antoinette. Like, people are going after her. People are calling her classless and just every wrong name in the book that I completely disagree with. What is wrong with a mother having fun, supporting her boy, thriving? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So what? She looks good. That's why they really mad, Ship. They mad. They mad she looks good.
Leave her alone. She's having a good time.
Yeah. Like, we just hating because she a fine-ass woman. Stop that. Antoinette, do your thing, girl. I'm rooting for you. Like, come on. Her boys are bad as hell. It was hard raising them kids. Them kids bad as hell. Them brothers that began locked up all the time. One of them was about to fight at DKR when Vanderbilt was in town a couple of weeks ago. They got that on film. It was a lot. It was a lot. And now her kids are becoming successful. I love them stories, man.
Is Jesse forgiven you for offering to let Antoinette stay at your place when Vanderbilt came to town?
Forgive me for what? Oh. What's wrong with allowing someone to stay at your place for a good rate? I was just looking out.
Oh, for a good rate. Okay, okay. Rate.
You know what I'm
saying?
I thought
you were like.
She's nice. She's a nice person. She understood. It didn't happen, but she understood. She understands my heart. You know what I'm saying? If Antoinette needed a place to stay, we had a bed available. That's all I'm saying. Man, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. By the way, you'll probably be asleep tonight, but I won't. Texas basketball, Maui Invitational, 10:30 tip-off, Central tonight. Good grief, man. I'll be locked in, though. I'll be locked in. Bobby Hurley, you remember Bobby Hurley, those Duke days, Dan Hurley's brother, which is ironic because Bobby, he was the household name back at Duke before he got into that motorcycle accident when he was in the NBA. Bobby would have had a 10-year career. Bobby was good, man. People forget how good Bobby Hurley was for those Duke teams. And now his brother Dan Hurley, obviously the better coach, winning two national championships at UConn. But the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Bobby Hurley, he could coach a little bit too. He just doesn't have the same resources at Arizona State that his brother does at UConn. But tonight, man, should be a good game. They got a center there at Arizona State. Diop, African brother, 7-foot, freshman. The dude could play. He's one of those guys that he's on NBA scouts' radar because he's young, he's raw, and you know how I feel about Africa, Chip. They're over there. There's a ton of them. You just got to do it. You just got to work. Like, that's one thing I'll give credit to Sean Miller for. He will go to Africa. It shows. He's got Lucina on the team already. So, you know, if you can find one of them African brothers, they will help when you bring them to the state.
Hey, Jordan Pope, get the ball to Kevin and Heidi. Quit messing around.
Quit messing around. Yeah, let's see if Cam Heidi could, you know, feed off of that momentum that he had in the last game, which – I hope they start him tonight. I don't know what the status is on Nick Cody coming back from that groin injury that he suffered. I don't know if that was a cautious thing or if he'll be available tonight, but you know how I feel about the situation. Like, Nick Cody, your time will come, but right now I got to bring you off the bench. Like, Cam Heide, even though he's an undersized power forward on this starting lineup, his ability to shoot the three opens up so much more for this offense, from Mathis to Dalen Swain to your boy Jordan Pope. So I would start Cam Heide tonight and see what happens. But yeah, man, it's about nap o'clock right after this show, since your boy's going to be up for this damn 10:30 tip off. But yeah, man, should be fun. Maui Invitational's tough, though. No matter what, you got 3 games in 3 days. So it's going to test your, you know, it's going to test your stamina. And another thing to note, Arizona State, they've been in Hawaii for almost a week now. They played Hawaii last week. So they've just been chilling, drinking pina coladas, eating jerk chicken or whatever the hell they eat down there in Hawaii. Poke, eating poke for the last few days. So they, you know, Texas, they touched down yesterday, I think. Maybe Saturday night. I don't know for sure. So they haven't had as much time to enjoy what Hawaii brings. Arizona State has. Look at that for tonight's game.
Yeah, they flew out Saturday.
Yeah. Arizona State beat Hawaii University, I think, last Thursday. So they've just been chilling since. So look out for that.
All right, let's open up the gym this Thanksgiving week.
What up, guys? Happy
Thanksgiving week, fellas.
Happy Thanksgiving week, you guys. It's a short week for us, but a fun one. Yeah, Zay, I saw that Arizona State-Hawaii game after Thursday Night Football a week ago. There's the only game left on TV. And so I was like, let me go put that. And I was like, wait a minute, they're already there.
Smart. That's smart. Smart
about it. So they're down there hanging out on the beach, have all the fun, and then go focus on basketball.
Yeah. It's good bonding, too, for your young team. Like, that was a smart move by Bobby Hurley for scheduling that. So,
yeah, we'll see. I know we saw on all the Texas players' Instagrams, we started to get beach pics yesterday. So they at least gotten a little bit out there on the beach. So we started to see that they're letting them enjoy it a little bit before they just spend the rest of it in the gym.
The business trip, fellas. Business trip. Got to get better, damn it.
Okay. Appreciate you, man. Put that suntan lotion away. All right.
Appreciate tomorrow. You guys.